come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. We usually know the verses that apply to something as miraculous as particular in the New Testament as the incarnation of Jesus. Isaiah will even talk about a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. Is that the only place we can find the incarnation, the fact that God becomes man in the Old Testament? Is there more there? And is it a lot of what we find of Christ in the Old Testament, in fact, assuming that we know that this is God in human flesh come to us? We continue our series on Christ in the Old Testament today on this Thursday afternoon, January the 16th. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer joins us. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He's host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, it's great to be here, Todd.
We're in Isaiah 49, and you say that in this 49th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, we actually do have a very clear proclamation of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Take us there.
Well, if you start off with Isaiah 49, verse 1, you have the Christ speaking. So this is the second person of the Holy Trinity saying, "Listen to me." And so he's the one speaking, and he says, "Yahweh called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name." So this is just in verse 1. Now, of course, this takes us back to Isaiah 7, that the virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and his name shall be Emmanuel, which is God with us. And, of course, Isaiah 9, that a son has been given to us, a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Again, like we talked about before, these names are not these proper names per se, but rather these names tell us who he is and what he does. So this is about the incarnation, that from the womb, from the body of the mother, he has come forth and been sent by the Father. You also see this later on in verse 5. So that in verse 5 of this same text, it says, "And now Yahweh says," so now here's the Father speaking, and he says, "the one who formed me from the womb to be his servant." And so you have this this verb in Hebrew, yatsar, is to form. This is the same verb that's used when Adam, of course, is formed from the ground. And so Adam comes from the Adamah, and he's formed, he's shaped to be this man. And so now we have the second Adam, the one who is also formed from the womb. And, of course, you get a tie-in there because Adam himself, the first man, was created in a very unique way through this miraculous God taking earth and making man. Same way with Eve, she's created by the side of the man. And now this is the third way where you have a human being that's brought forth in a completely unique way. And this is one who's brought forth and formed not from the ground, but from the womb, from the body of the Virgin Mary. And so he's formed for this purpose, to be the servant of Yahweh, who will bring Jacob back, who will gather Israel back to the Father. So that this is the purpose that the Son has been sent, formed in the womb to be the servant, to bring back Jacob, to gather Israel, to take him to the Father. And it's only in this sacrificial death, he takes flesh and blood for one reason, in order to shed this blood to atone for sins, giving us access to the Father and gaining for us God's blessing upon us.
Now, you say he is sent for a particular purpose, and in this first verse here of Isaiah 49, He says things like, listen to me, give attention. What's he sent to do then?
Well, he's sent to preach. So he comes to bring his kingdom, and his kingdom is not like a physical earthly kingdom that comes by a physical sword, but instead his kingdom comes with a spiritual sword, which is with his word, so that faith comes by the preaching of Christ. So Christ comes to preach and to proclaim. This is exactly what happens when Christ is baptized, and as soon as he's baptized, he goes in the synagogues to preach. And, of course, we have the account where he's in the synagogue of Nazareth, and he takes the Isaiah scroll from Isaiah chapter 61, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do what? To preach good news. So this is what he has been given to do. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention to me, you peoples from afar. So he brings his kingdom by proclaiming who he is, what he does, that he's the fulfillment of all of God's promises.
Now, he's not speaking, at least in this verse, to the people who are nearby or to people in his homeland. Coastlands, people who are afar off, what does that tell us?
Yeah, and so what we get in this passage is we understand that this preaching will not be received by his own people. So he created all people, and he comes to his own people, and yet his own people don't recognize him. They do not listen to him. They reject him, just like they did throughout the Old Testament scriptures when they rejected him as he came to speak to them comfortably, tenderly. And so we learn here, in this passage in particular, that his preaching will go to the ends of the earth. The coastlands are way out, the Eim. It's like the Goyim, the nations, the ones who are far off. So not the local ones, not the close ones, not the ones in Galilee or Jerusalem, but the ones from who are far off. So he's preaching to the Gentiles. Because we know, as we follow Isaiah, that God's own people have a tendency not to listen to God's word. And it's God's word that makes people into God's people. And so this word, when it's rejected by God's people, it is taken and proclaimed to those who are not God's people by nature. But it's that very word that will make them into God's people. And so this is how Paul ends, in the whole book of Acts ends on this note where Paul says, basically, I dust off my feet, I've gone to the synagogue, I've proclaimed to the Jews first, and now I'm going to the Gentiles, because they're going to listen. So Paul says, just like Isaiah said. So here in this passage, we hear that Christ will speak to the coastlands, to the peoples who are far off, to make them into his people, to gather them and to bring them into access with God through his blood.
The servant says, he, that is God, made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me like a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away. What's in this verse, Brian?
Well, again, we have this emphasis on this preached word. It's this word that comes from his mouth. So it's not a physical sword. This is not the kind of king that we have with an earthly kingdom. We have the eternal king, the king of the universe, to bring his eternal kingdom, his heavenly kingdom, and he brings it with the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. So it's from his mouth that this kingdom will come, that he will actually slay the sinfulness in our own hearts, put it to death, and rise us to new life with a new man so that we continue to listen and are restored and continue to walk in his ways. And so you have this imagery of the sword from his mouth. It's this preaching of his word. But then you also have this understanding that it's in the shadow of the Father's hand he will be hidden. So he's not just merely some guy out there from Nazareth who just has an idea and he's trying to sell it. Instead, this is the one that Yahweh has declared to be the servant, the promised Messiah, the anointed one, the one that Yahweh, the Father, specifically hides, the one that he sends the Son. Of course, Yahweh the Son goes out and proclaims his word. And you see this throughout John's gospel, where Jesus will constantly say how he has been sent by the Father. And the word that he proclaims is not his own word, it's the word that the Father himself has given him to speak. And so this whole language of the Father hides him in the shadow of his hand, that he's like a polished arrow and the Father hides him away in his quiver. Now, of course, the image of an arrow and a quiver brings to mind Psalm 127, when we have this language of children being a heritage from Yahweh. They're the fruit of the womb and a reward. And like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth, blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. And so here we have not only the Son of Mary, but specifically the Son of God, who is begotten of the Father from all eternity, of the same divine essence. And so you have the Father's Son, the Father's arrow, that will be the tool that the Father will use to bring about the reconciliation of his own people and all people.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We're doing Christ in the Old Testament, as we do every week with him. Isaiah chapter 49, the first seven verses, the servant of the Lord. It's Thursday afternoon, January the 16th. Give us a call with a question or a comment. 10 more minutes with him on the other side of this break. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado; St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri; Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri; Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana; Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee; and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. We're talking about the servant of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 49, Christ in the Old Testament, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You will find a link to Redeemer Theological Academy right there at our website, issuesetc.org, along with this interview. Click Listen on Demand. Brian, the verses continue with the servant of the Lord saying, "God said to me, 'You are my servant Israel.'" Now, there's some potential for confusion here. Is the servant the people of Israel? Or is it, as you have said, Christ speaking before his incarnation?
Yeah, so throughout the text of Isaiah, in Isaiah's scroll, he'll make a contrast between the people of Israel, which are to be the servant of God, that is, those who hear his word and do it. And then you have them in reality being a rebellious people, servants who do not listen, refuse to hear his voice. And so you have this contrast between the people of Israel and then the one who is the true servant, the one who is obedient unto death, the one who empties himself to take this form of a servant. And so you have the contrast between the people who are rebellious and they are to be a servant, but they're not. And then this one is put forth as the true servant. Behold, this is my servant in whom I will be glorified. Because the people did not glorify God in their actions or their deeds or what they said, and definitely what they did in worship. But instead, the Father puts forth the Son and says, this is the one. Behold, my servant in whom the Holy Spirit is resting upon. This is the one who will accomplish exactly what I have given him to do.
So there's no conflict here. This is speaking to him of Israel. He now stands singularly as a representative of Israel and of all people.
Yes, yeah, so that he becomes Israel where Israel had failed. And so that in Christ, we're grafted into him in our baptism. And so this is the same kind of understanding that we have in Romans, where we're united into his death in our baptism, in his crucifixion, his resurrection. We are in Christ. And so in Christ, there is no condemnation. And so in Christ, what the Father sees is the servant Israel in whom he is well pleased. And it's the same thing that happens at the baptism, where the Father says, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Well, by our own nature and by our own efforts, we are unpleasing to God. We don't please God. But in Christ, when we're united with him in his baptism, the Father sees his beloved Son, the servant, who listens to him all the way to the point of death. And so even in the New Testament, you'll get this same language where you'll talk about Christ and his body was given up for our salvation, but then the people of God are called the body of Christ, so that the people of God are the body of Christ and Christ is the head. And so you have this whole language that we are in Christ, and being in Christ, we are counted and reckoned as if we are the obedient servant and not the rebellious servant as we are by nature.
Now, you bring together two things here in the course of looking at chapter 49, and one of them is drawn from Isaiah chapter 53, where the discourse on the servant begins with kind of a lament. Who has believed what he has heard from us? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? A lament that no one listens. And there's a similar kind of sentiment here in Isaiah chapter 49. Tell us about it.
Well, so again, at the baptism, the Father says, this is my beloved Son, the baptism in the Jordan, that is. And then, of course, at the Transfiguration, the Father says, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. And this is what you had throughout the whole Old Testament, as the prophet said, listen to him when he comes. Specifically, Moses had said that back in Deuteronomy chapter 18, that a prophet like him would rise up and listen to him. But yet the people will not listen. And even though he started off this chapter by saying, listen to me, the fact of the matter is God's own people don't listen. And so you have this lament of the Son who says, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. And so you have Christ speaking to the Father. And here we begin to get the taste of the suffering and the rejection of the Christ. Now, on the surface, it looks like he has labored in vain and spent his strength for nothing and vanity. But this is the task that has been given to the servant, and it will be a difficult task. It will be a task in which he is rejected, he is mocked, they refuse to listen to him, but he must be rejected by his own people so that his word then goes out to the Gentiles. He must be rejected by his own people so that he is put to death, atoning for our sins and bringing us to the Father. And so you see this throughout John's gospel, where Jesus is constantly proclaiming, saying, listen to me, to his own people, and they won't listen. And so Jesus says, like in John 5, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. And you see this especially in John chapter 10 with this whole a discourse about Jesus being the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, but yet the people who are hearing aren't really listening. And so you have this in John chapter 10 where a division, a schism breaks up amongst the Jews, and they say, why listen to this guy? He has a demon. This is what the people of God say. They say that the Messiah is possessed by a devil because he speaks a word that is contrary to the word they want to hear. And in reality, they're the ones who are falling after false spirits, and here is the one who speaks with the Holy Spirit. And so in John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking to them, and they won't listen, and they say, well, just if you're the Messiah, and we'll believe. And Jesus says, I have, and you do not believe. But the reason that you do not believe is because you're not of my sheep. For my sheep hear my voice, they know me, and they follow me.
So Jesus is fully aware that he is living out the, for lack of a better term, the script written for him, or we, I guess we should say the script he wrote for himself, all the way back in Isaiah chapter 49.
Exactly. So it's not a surprise when the Christ comes and he is rejected. And so this is what Jesus constantly is telling his own disciples, because even his own disciples don't get it. His own students who are listening to him, you know, where you have Simon Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, great. Now understand and continue to listen to me. The Christ must suffer. He must be rejected. He must be handed over. He must die. And Peter says, no. He says, no, I don't want to listen to that. And then that's when Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And so Jesus says, it must be this way, as the scriptures have already said, that God himself has been rejected throughout the period of the Old Testament. And so it's no surprise when God himself comes in the flesh, once again, he is rejected by his own people. So that God's word wasn't listened to back in the days of Moses. And when God's word comes incarnate, he still isn't listened to in the days as Jesus walks around gathering his disciples.
With about a minute and a half before we have to wrap it up, you said at the very beginning here that this servant is sent forth and formed in the womb and sent to proclaim the kingdom of God, to bring Jacob back. And that's the subject of the last several verses here. Summarize that for us, if you would.
And so this is the task, that he's going to bring Jacob back by, how is he going to do this? By his death. And how does his death come? By the rejection of his own people. So a prophet must die in Jerusalem. So he comes to Jerusalem to die. You know, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you slay all the prophets. And how often I've wanted to gather you under my wings, but you would not. So he had to die, and by his death, that's how he brings his people back into communion with God. And then this message, as you see in Isaiah 49, verse 6, is it too little of a thing, too light of a thing to just bring back the people of Israel? Instead, in addition to, you'll be a light to the nations. And God the Father says, you will be my salvation to the ends of the earth, because there are other sheep, not of this fold, that he will bring together to be one flock.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Next week on Christ in the Old Testament, we will talk with Pastor Ketchelmeyer about the famous words, "For unto us a child is born," from Isaiah chapter 9. Brian, thank you very much.
Oh, it's been great to be here, Todd.
Folks, Jesus tells us that all Scripture testifies to him. Now, this is the kind of Christology that they are teaching future church workers and pastors at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. If you ever considered the vocation of pastor or deaconess, visit ctsfw.edu. That's the website for Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu, or give them a call toll-free, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Kurt Onken about do-it-yourself forgiveness. Is it possible? Is it advisable? We'll also discuss media coverage of religion with Tammy Ross, and we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. There are no accidents, are there? Jesus comes and it appears to everyone, casual observers, those who watched him intently, that he fails. He comes, he gathers many disciples, they dwindle, he's rejected, he's killed. His own people, it says there at the beginning of John's Gospel, did not receive him. But that's not really the point, is it? Jesus has come to receive all people in his death and resurrection. He did not fail, he succeeded. I'm Todd Wilkin, I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 6 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues Etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2014.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.